Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. It is August 10th, and I have to tell you that on this day, there are like 7 birthdays in our family between aunts, sisters, nieces. I mean, it just goes on and on. Friends, we have like 7 birthdays today. So I don't know what goes on August 10th or what happened 9 months before, but it was a boom in our family. So it's just interesting. I thought, wow, we get to this day. And then my mom was on the 11th. And then so we'd always have 2 birthdays in a row, and so 2 cakes in a row as far as I was concerned when I was a kid. But anyway, kind of cool. So today is Question Friday, and I have, you know, I was telling you guys we're having like this little resurgence of Origins of Truth, but now we've gone a little far, but I love it. We are going to reprint the book in a soft cover and reissue it because I have only a small amount of the paperbacks, or not the paperbacks, the hardbacks left. And I don't know if I'm ever going to publish it in a hardcover again. Usually the first one is, and I've been saving them. I don't want to give them away. I don't know. I have attachment issues or something, but I have them, and I'm going to reprint. So I at first thought, well, you know, I wrote the book, this year has been 11 years ago, but it just resurged. I'm getting orders from Amazon, which is interesting because for a while, you know, when we did the ebook, first of all, it sold a bunch and still is selling a bunch of ebook because you can just download it. And it was easier and you don't have to carry around the book and all of this stuff. But no, now we're getting the book ordered. So that's interesting. So now I'm running back and forth to the post office. But very, very cool news. So as I'm on this thought, I get this this statement for Questions Friday from Eliana. And she says, Nadia, lately I've been reading Origins of Truth before bed, and it's so relaxing. Also, I'm trying to remember all the hurt and fear-based events in my life. I'm breaking them down bit by bit and asked why I reacted, felt a certain way. I asked myself, do I continue to feel this way or is it still bothering me? Is it still bothering me? Why? This is all opening me up to being someone who feels so refreshed. I just wanted to share this because you have helped my life so much and continue to do so. So much love your way. And I thought, thank you so much for telling me. I have a man who's been following my page forever, didn't even know I wrote a book. And he ordered it once he found out, and he's been reading it. And I never met him. He lives in California, but I never met him. And he started going through kind of a beginning of a relationship. And he got the book, and it's a magic book, you guys. I will say that till I'm gone. Maybe even after I'm gone, I'll be like, you guys, it's a magic book. But it's a magic book. At any given time, you can pick up that book, open a page, and it is like, truly the living, breathing organism. It grows as you grow. It's always been grown. But the more you understand, the more you can understand. I, by now, because I've read it so many times, and, you know, and I went through the process of writing it and having Christ, you know, just literally write it through me. I was almost like I was being used. And all of that, which was kind of cute, but it was a lot. It was a lot of writing and work and, you know, having to go through these experiences to understand what I was writing. And it just was a free-for-all in my life. And at the same time, I now feel like that whole thing was a dream. Because I write differently now because I'm so conscious of Christ differently now. I've grown a lot now. I get things now I didn't understand then that I would, you know, cry myself to sleep trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? And I went through the whole thing. But now when I pick up the book and I read it, let's say I'm racing, I got a ton of stuff to do, I feel sad about something, I didn't know why something happened now in 2018, and I pick it up and read it, it just clears my mind. Cleans it up. I just need to read a page or two, sometimes not even two. Sometimes I'll just fall asleep, like literally fall asleep. So I'm real careful about when, but it's an interesting thing that happened because I'm still learning about that book. Still learning it. Interesting. So I have a question also for Origins of Truth from Maria Dulce, who I did not get to last week because last week we had one question that took the whole show. So she asked this question. She said, I have a question from your book, Origins of Truth. In chapter, Blessed Are the Challenges of the Meek, where it says, Earth is of difficulty. Souls that come back at times need intervention upon return, for the horrors of souls were seen by them. That is the lack of love. To know love is to recognize the love of love as it exists. My question, could those souls choose to go to other planes of existence to keep growing and learning without the need to come back to Earth? Or in any case, is intervention needed to clear the horrors seen by these souls? Well, just because those souls saw horrific things while they were here or felt them doesn't necessarily mean that they have to come back. The only souls that have to come back are suicides. And a lot of times they broke their contract. They came here to do something, not like they have to pay or collectors chase them like we do. But it's funny, they break the contract of what they came here to learn. So when they go back, they come back. And the only hard part about the whole thing, but that's only if you don't know what's happening, or you do know what's happening, is that you start all over again. You like have to be born again and go through all the same circumstances to get to that part where you took your life so that you can grow over it and not do that. And then you continue to learn what you came here to learn. But when I think of something like that, just knowing that, I don't care what I would ever do, that would not be one of the things I decide to ever do, because why would I want to repeat this if I can't do it this time? Why don't I just learn to do it this time? And I wonder if once I'm out there speaking and I do speak on suicide, if that might help not only the families that are dealing with the person who is now no longer there and not understanding if they could have done something to help this person not put themselves through that isolation and sadness to such a level that you could cross the line. However, if it can stop anyone, when they are in that place, if they know this and say, gosh, you know, oh, this is really hard. I mean, maybe I could reach out and tell someone I'm about to do this. Maybe. Wow, coming back to do this again, I don't know. That's a lot on my soul. But to really think about that. Now, in the second part of your question, it doesn't have to be those souls that choose to go to other planes to keep growing and learning without the need to come back to Earth. The suicides do. but anybody else doesn't. It's a choice. You choose if you want to come back or not. It's not like we have to come back and we have to evolve and we have to keep going. No, that's not a have to. You have free will. You are a soul. And our other places we go, there's other planes. I can't say I've seen them all. I haven't. I know they exist. But I did go to one that's only colors. And the colors were like, they were alive. Each color has a job. That was so cool. Each color has a job. I have never looked at colors the same. The colors I did see were not like, well, they were the colors here, but not the same. Because here, colors are just kind of dormant. Like you have a blue pillow, the pillow's blue. You have something that's green, it's green. But there, the colors have a different intensity because they actually, they're not breathing, but they look like they are. They're more like they have energy attached to them. Every color does. That's why we react differently to certain colors. And that's why in advertising they use different colors. There's some colors that actually increase our heart rate. There's other colors that might calm us down. And there's just different colors. Red being a very dominant color in us increasing our heart rate and reacting, which is why they use it so much in advertising or in places they want you to leave sooner. You know, it's like bright red. Who could sit there? And that's why. And I haven't seen colors that intense here, except sometimes when in the sky the sun is setting or in the mornings when it's rising, you just see these beautiful rays of colors. But ever since I saw that, I love bright colors, love them. And I went through a period of time where I just was wearing like fluorescent, but just to work out. Like it wasn't like I wore fluorescent dresses. I don't even know if they make them, but I just wore the brightest colors ever. And I was so attracted to them. And if I were anywhere and I saw one in a store, I would go and look at it, see if it was something I could wear and buy. But to have intervention needed to clear the horrors seen by souls, that happens at home. What happens is when we leave here and, you know, where we all get to go before God. We do it coming and we do it leaving and we do it going back. And, you know, it's not like God is so busy. God is God and he's intellectual force. And when you are in front of God, you're not scared. If anything, you feel so loved because all your content, everything inside of you is known. A lot of what ails us, a lot of what's hard for us is what we don't know or what we won't say. Or what we don't share. And when we are before God, we're sharing. But it's not about what we've done, saw, or who we were here. It's about dealing with what our choices or what we've been exposed to taught our soul, even if what it taught it was the horror. And then that's looked at in a way with love around it, because I don't want to say the explanation, because they don't explain it to you. Everyone knows what happened. But dealing with it, clearing it out of you. Because what happens when we pass, we do not take any negative with us. Nothing. It all stays here. So when we see it, we know why that soul did that to that soul, why that soul received it, why we saw it, or if someone did something to us. We get it. Because we also, just like we are transparent, so is everything else around us. So the understanding comes in, and then the effect of it is what is dealt with. And it takes, you know, I know they don't have time at home. Transitioning from being here, having been here, understanding what here is, learning the lessons we needed to learn here, and then to continue on. And then we make decisions. Is this a place we would come back to? I have many people here, old people, that I have talked to. There was a man I was going to rent a house from. And that was when I was with Sterling and we had the 6 kids. And, you know, the man, he just looked at me point blank and he said, "My wife is not going to agree to rent this house to you as much as I like you. Just too many people. She will not sleep at night. She wants to rent this big house to as few people as she can because she doesn't want to do too much work. She's too old." I said, "Hey, I understand that. Thank you." And I wanted to leave because what else was I going to do? And he asked me if he could talk to me. And I can't remember his last name. It's like Mr. Barone. I just want to remember his name, and I'm sorry I put his name on it, but he passed since. He's passed. But what happened was he asked me if he could talk to me, and he told me that he was related to one of the popes in the 60s in our world, the one of the popes. He was Italian. And I said, "Oh, wow, that's so cool." And he started to tell me about his life. And honestly, I can't remember very much that he told me that day because all I remembered was him telling me, "I've done everything I've needed to do on earth. When I leave, I'm never going to come back again because I just feel bored." I said, "Bored?" He said, "Yeah. Even in this life, I have all this extra time now. Nobody needs me. I don't even need me. But I'm still here." And I knew him needing me. It gave him the freedom. Because he told me he couldn't even tell those things to his wife because he didn't want to scare her. I think it would scare me if my partner said that and we were older. And I'd be like, "Oh, you want to leave? Like, aren't you happy? Oh, what's going on?" But I understood it. And I just listened. And I looked at him. And I felt so much love for him. And I got it. And at that time, I was pretty darn tired myself. Sterling was sick 90% of the marriage. One of the kids couldn't settle. One of them, it turned out later, was diagnosed with bipolar. But we didn't know. So it was like, you know, the one we thought wasn't diagnosed, but the one we didn't even think was. And so we have a lot going on. And exes and all that stuff. And, you know, the questions he had were a lot of the questions I had. And I was tired and I was ready. But I had a lot of work to do and I couldn't not do it. And I was in the middle of writing Origins of Truth. Not realizing even that it was going to have a name called Origins of Truth. And I got to talk to that man. And he helped me as much as I helped him. Because he let me know that by the time you are in your middle 80s, there's a lot of events in your life that were big at the time, but very little at that time. And he couldn't remember all the details. And there was a woman who's now 90 90. I went to her 90th birthday party, and she drives freeway and goes all over the place in California, which is not Music Inc. And she, in her 30s, did try to kill herself, and she was telling me about it. And her ex-husband now, but he was her husband then, found her. And she can't even remember the details. Can't even remember the details of something like that. And then she said, and my husband, you know, he grew older and he passed away, her ex-husband. But she looked at him, you know, and you look at life differently. When you look back and you think, wow, we had this kind of a relationship and we did this and we did that. Well, we get old one day. So you have to ask yourself, is what I'm doing today the best thing, the most important thing, the most loving thing I could be doing? Because I may not remember it. So why don't I do something I enjoy? And I can look back and whatever it is that's inside of me, the contents of what I decided to put inside of me, did it at least make me happy? Because by the time you are 85 or 90 or 95, a lot of the people you knew are gone. They're not even here anymore. Imagine. They're just not even here. And you have nobody to share the stories with that you have. So now you start to see this perspective. They're your stories. Appreciation for today. Because there are no mistakes. If you're here, anyone who's still here, all of us, because we still belong here. When people start doing these self-pity acts, why am I here? Nobody cares. It'd be better if I'm gone. All that kind of talk. I found over these 16 and a half years that I've been on this track of knowing what I know, I found that self-pity is the hardest thing for me to hear over time. In the beginning, when I heard that, I wanted to wrap my arms around the person and help them. And just help them. And make them feel better again. Because I thought that's what would make them feel better again. But I found that the pity that we can grab onto and latch onto and do what we're doing with, that self-pity will fight me. Not the person. It's an energy. We adopt it. We normally don't fall into those traps. But somewhere in our psyche, we decide that the world is against us and people are against us, and we live our whole life talking about this person and that person, and they're so angry. And I thought, oh, that anger is yours and yours alone. It's not because of anybody. Because of anybody. Be aware that you are carrying that anger. Be aware that you have to deal with that anger at some point in your life. If not, you're just going to be a grumpy old person. It's much more fun to face our challenges. And I say that very, very strongly. It's much more fun to face our challenges because you came here to face them. And I don't care how hard something is. I don't care how many times I cried myself to sleep. I don't care how much money my ex-husband tried to take. I don't care what anybody did. What I care about, what I live with, is how I faced it. And if I faced it, or did I run away from it? Did I live as a victim about it, or did I say, hey, you know what? This happened. And I found out a lot of beautiful things from those challenges. I found out there are good men in this world, men I'm not married to or ever dated, that I love from the bottom of my heart because they helped me for nothing. They didn't need anything back from me other than the fact that they helped me. And women and friends. And I discovered an entire world of generosity that I could never have discovered had I not known the challenges I had to face. Running away from our challenges isn't running away from our challenges, as we may think. What it really is that we don't get the gifts of that challenge, because every challenge comes bearing gifts. There's nothing you could expect, nothing you could predict, and it's not a reason to create challenges. It just means that when you get them and you get those challenges, now you just know what to do. You face it. And when you face it, you start realizing that some of the friends you had weren't friends at all. Some of the people you never thought were friends are your best allies in life. It teaches you that you just don't know what you think you know. There's a lot to learn. So when people come to me with challenges, I'm always like, woohoo, and I'm excited, and I'm like, hey, and they're like, what are you so happy about? And I said, give it a year and you'll tell me why I'm so happy. And they come back with fresh perspective. They come back with stronger belief in themselves. They come back with how they solved it, even if just time healed them. We cannot get an answer in life, about life, without being pushed to discover it. And we've become angry at the push to discover it. So calm and talking about these things is how I know that I can do this. I finally got to being objective about how to just look at life. And it doesn't make it more calm by any means, make it more fulfilling. And it does make it more exciting. We've spent so much time on angst that we just thought all we want to do is be okay. Well, what a boundary and limit that is. I don't even see boundaries and limits anymore. Because now, whatever faces me, even the worst of it, I try to look at with objectivity, like, well, this happens to people and this is what we do. And then all the feelings that aren't easy come in, and I just look them in the eyes, hard as they are. You guys, on that note, have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.